This is the Hip Hop African Podcast, a show where we have in-depth conversations about African hip-hop culture and artists. Your host is Msia Kibona Clark, a professor in the Department of African Studies at Howard University. For more information or to contact us, please visit us at hiphopafrican.com.
So much love to give, a full of hearts wasn't strategic. Thought she fell in love, huh? But the farmer was a scam. After planting the seed, he got the tools and went on the run. She was heartbroken, but harvesting had to be done. The situation was a disgrace, so fruit was hidden like a spam. I have experienced anger, know how bitterness can cripple. You get the blame for everything, existence makes you tremble. And in finding answers, you start questioning the fruit. But queries leave you hanging, because issue stems beyond roots. He who sows has to reap, but cowards are also in season. They never stay to harvest, only find holes to put seeds in. It's sad to be a victim. She was raised a queen. I still wonder.
So today we're sitting down with Mutombo the poet. He's described as one of the pioneers of contemporary spoken word in Ghana. His career spans over 20 years, and he's often blurred the line between poetry, hip hop, and performance. His content addresses everything from identity, everyday life, love, politics, social justice. His debut album, Photo Sentences, came out in 2012. He released several projects since then, singles. And so after a bit of a break, his most recent project is B50, which contains six tracks that tell a story over melodic beats and definitely deepens the relationship between spoken word and hip hop. So thank you for taking some time. I know you're busy.
No, thank you for having me.
You have described spoken word as being connected with hip hop. So how do you define that relationship, and where do you see yourself in relationship to hip hop culture?
There is a strong tie between spoken word and rap. I feel they are first cousins. So that's the relationship for me. Like you initially said, I started as a spoken word artist in Ghana with no clue with what I'm doing. I started it after a good friend of mine handed me a deaf poetry CD to watch. Shouts to Glenn, aka Simpletons. He has always believed in me that I could do anything. And he's like, yeah, Mutombo, you write so well, but you can't flow. You don't have the flow. So watch this and see what you can do. And so I watched that. I'm like, wow, I never ever thought that there was anything like this. This is what I have to do. So right there and then I started writing my own pieces. And back then, this was in like 2005, 2006, there were a few open mic spots in Accra. And I started going out to do shows. That's how spoken word started for me.
It does. And so as I'm listening to Photo Sentences and I'm listening to the most recent project, there's clearly a difference.
Clearly.
And so Photo Sentences, I mean, it definitely is like kind of like that slam poetry feel, you know, whereas the most recent project is definitely more kind of over into the hip hop zone. So what kind of influenced that transition?
After recording Photo Sentences, which I've often said, I had no clue what I was doing. Looking back, I'm like, this could have been better. But around that time, I had no studio. A friend was paying for studio time for me to record. And it was usually rushed, right? But yeah, we did it. I sold about 3,000 physical copies. And yeah, people still talk about Photo Sentences. So after Photo Sentences, I've released a few other pieces. Last year in 2025, I dropped 8 singles. I was busy with other things. So I wasn't active, but I was still creatively doing other things. For example, I call myself a documentary photographer. I ventured into that seriously, and I was learning how to make videos too, you know. So I started dropping tracks, but I was finding my sound. You know, I am a hip hop head. I've been a hip hop head from the mid 90s, listening to Not By Nature, Mos Def. I'm that guy, and I like rap, and I like beats too. So I'm like, if I'm going to do this, or I'm going to come back to this after a long break, I have to be different. But the journey of coming back started during lockdown. But lockdown, I was so depressed. Everybody was so depressed, you know, and all that. So I'm like, you know what? I am a beat head too. Why don't I start learning how to make beats? Why don't I start investing in my potential. And it went well. So I just locked myself up for days. I wouldn't sleep for weeks. So yeah, I recorded a few stuff, still speaking over beats. Then I started fine-tuning it. One morning I woke up and I'm like, let me call this melodic spoken word. But I still don't mind if someone calls it rap. And I still don't mind if someone calls it spoken word. But what I'm doing now is melodic spoken word. You know, I've merged the two.
I've heard you described as one of the pioneers of the spoken word movement. And so what does that mean to you? And did you ever feel a sense of responsibility? And could that have played a role in maybe like, okay, like that's a lot to take on?
Those who know me will tell you this. I don't ever pay attention to what people say about me. And I have never allowed myself to be pressured by anyone apart from my kids, you know? Yeah. Another reason why I took a step back was it was becoming too much. I was gaining height. You know, I was traveling for shows and I was going through shows here in Ghana. And I'm like, this isn't really me. You know, I live life without paying attention to anyone. The fact that I sold 30 and 3,000 copies of Photosentences doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that I owe people. It is all about me. So yeah, I didn't feel any sense of pressure at all.
So then the other kind of looking at pressure, whether it's internal or external. So like Photosentences is very clear. You've got opinions about social issues, social justice, all these things. And so what is the role of poets as social commentators? Is there maybe internal pressure that you're supposed to be profound?
If it comes to art, right, there's a reason why I'm a documentary photographer. Mm-hmm. I like telling stories with my art. I'd rather go on the street, speak to someone, hear their story and share, because art is supposed to, for me personally, cause a change. Spoken word wise, I have views. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, personal views. I have a story to tell. If you think about it, let's go back into time. Chief is supposed to have a linguist and they share information throughout the community and all that. And that is the work of a poet, a griot. No chief is sending me to go and pass on information. It's from the things that I consume. So yeah, I feel a strong sense of responsibility to be profound.
Okay. So as you're talking, I'm like thinking, yeah, you know, the responsibility to be profound. Well, if you're a profound person, then your music is going to be profound. So even if you're talking about eating cereal in the morning, you're also going to be like looking at the consumption of material goods.
Oh, yeah.
So you naturally think of things in ways that maybe others wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so then that automatically is going to come through. So again, even if you're talking about eating cereal, there is often a bigger reflection of what that means.
Yeah, yeah, true. I've always said this, like back in 2012, my work is to right wrongs. And the world currently, there are so many opinions. And you might think that you are saying the best of everything, but someone will come and trash you. And you think about what you are saying and you go like, yeah, that person is actually right. Like I look back at Photosentences and I go, I shouldn't have said it that. I shouldn't have said it this way. I shouldn't have said that. There were so many flaws in that EP. But we live and we learn. And I will never ever finish, you know, learning.
And the social media landscape has changed since 2012.
So much.
I mean, when you talk about people kind of being critical, I have yet to see anyone post anything or have any opinion and there not be people in the comments that drag.
No matter what you say, trust me.
Exactly.
No matter what you say, someone will come and counter. Yeah. So quite recently, I've stayed off social media. I was off for a long time, but you know, with this project that I'm working on, I've once again, but I don't retweet especially because everything, it's so much. It's so much.
And it's also, I think, for artists, for anyone, but for artists specifically, because you almost have to engage in social media.
Yeah, you have to.
I can't even imagine like putting myself out there, your creative work, being vulnerable, and then not allowing the comments to
get you.
You'll see like 1,000 positive comments and it'll be the two that are negative.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your mind.
You will be fixed on those two. It's very true. So I've been questioning myself lately with this new B50 project. I go like, should I put this out there? Because it's so personal.
Yeah.
Extremely personal. And until I had kids, I didn't think I had any emotion at all. You know, I've been emotionless for years from things that I've gone through until I had kids. I remember the first time I properly cried was when I had my first son, who is now 10, who is going to be 11 in August. And I think the first 2 weeks when he was born, I was singing a lullaby for him. And then I started to cry. I think my emotions came out to play, you know. So yeah, social media for an independent artist like me, I need it. You know, I need the Instagrams, I need the SoundClouds, I need the Twitters to share my stuff, right? But at the same time, being an old head on social media, I know that there are people out there who come for you. And what you said is true. You get 1,000 good comments and it'll be with a single one. And throughout your days, you'll be thinking about that.
So one of the things is your poetry works well, whether it's on stage or, you know, in the recorded form. So when you specifically did this recent project, B50, what do you write with the with a live audience in mind, or kind of what is the process when you're writing?
I love the stage. I've always loved the stage ever since I was a kid. Growing up in Audume, North Kanishi, I would look out for spots where there is either a funeral going, especially from funerals. And back in the day, anytime or anywhere there is a funeral, there is a live band. And I remember this so vividly. There were several times that I would hide behind a band. And if no one is on the microphone, I'll run, grab the mic and just talk and then run. You know, I was doing that for a long time because I really, really enjoyed the stage in basic school. But I couldn't speak properly. I used to stammer, like it was so deep. I would take 5 minutes to say a single word. So when I was growing up, I was so quiet. Like I was that quiet type, but I was also fun. You know, I was also fun. It wasn't until secondary school, Accra Academy, that was when I started to fight, you know, my stammer. That I had to go through a whole lot to fight my stammer. And in secondary school, I would do everything on the stage. I would model, I would rap, I would, you know, I would be a mess. So I have always loved the stage. And when I started performing spoken word publicly, I always wrote with a crowd in mind because I knew that I'm writing this and the next week I'm going to Lyricist Lounge, which was an open mic session here in Accra back in the day. I always write with a stage in mind. But now that I'm not writing, and now I write to a beat.
Yeah.
I'm not writing like, you know, a cappella without no beats. Now I'm writing to a beat. So I'm currently working on how to do this on stage. I'm finding a perfect way to present the new Mutombo on stage because I'm now writing to a beat.
Okay. So speaking of like performing and being on stage, one of the things, you know, I've noticed that really globally, there have been fewer open mic spots, open mic nights, and there aren't as many kind of spoken word stars. And so do you think that, and I don't want to say the spoken word bubble has burst, but I think there was this height of popularity, you know, films like Love Jones kind of helped. And then the Deaf Poetry Jam that helped. So what do you think of where spoken word is today? And then after kind of 20 plus years of watching spoken word in Ghana, like, what do you think, how does today's kind of generation of spoken word artists in Ghana, like the younger generation, like how are they different from when you first kind of were out there?
What I'll say will come off the wrong way. But since I dropped Photosynthesis, till date, I haven't heard anything from any spoken word artist in Ghana that has really blown me away. Like, to be very, very honest with you. And that's one reason that I'm like, yo, let me just come back and do this again. Talking about Love Jones and Deaf Poetry, and there are some active poets still active and getting better. One is Saul Williams, who I, you know, really admire. Another is J.I.V., who is still doing his thing in the States, you know. But here in Ghana, there are some dope people still producing amazing stuff. But I have not been properly inspired by any recent work that I've heard from any poet in Ghana. maybe it stems from the lack of spots or events or open mics where you go to perform to improve your stage presence and your work. Because back in the day, every week I was performing.
Yeah.
And that pushed me to write. Every week I was on stage. Every week I had to reflect on the previous week and do what I did better.
Yeah.
You know, but now there are no open mic spots.
Have you ever thought about hosting something?
Yes. But I need investors. You know, people always tell me that, yo, Mutombo, you have to start something. You have to start an open mic. I'm so sure I will very soon. You know, I've thought of it. But, you know, creating or having something like that currently needs money.
I feel like Ghana is like become so popular. Everybody wants to go to Ghana. Everybody's talking about Accra. Accra is like the place to be. So I've seen kind of like all these interesting new restaurants and coffee shops and venues. And so it seems like if you pair one of these kind of hip popular venues with, okay, Tuesday night, Mutombo the Poet hosts, I don't know, spoken word in Accra or whatever that it would be. And then one, that's automatically name recognition.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, of course, you know, there's a charge and all. I am definitely not a business person. But as you were talking, and I'm just like, that would actually really be dope. Because if you've got a dope venue, you've got a dope host, you're going to have people coming through. And so that would be.
Yeah, it's something that I'm thinking about. I'll do that at the right time.
Yeah.
Which could be soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because I've done stuff on stage a couple times for open mic nights. Definitely not been a regular, and I'm not like a poet, but just those spaces are so, I mean, you always leave inspired. I mean, I'm not a religious person, but it's almost like sometimes you leave those spaces kind of, you know, that same feeling that I guess some people would feel when they leave church. Yeah. It's like inspired and like, you know, I'm seen and understood.
Yeah.
But one of the things, looking at, you know, all, you know, your long career and all the things you've seen and experienced, if you could go back and give yourself advice back in 2005, mm-hmm. what advice would you give yourself, a younger Mutombo?
Oh, this is one hell of a question. Wow. What advice would I give myself? So many things come to mind, but I want to be intentional with my answer. One advice that I would give myself is, you really don't have to wait. Mutombo, you don't have to wait. You don't have to procrastinate. You are so skilled and talented. You just have to do it. One thing that I've been battling with is procrastination. I have crazy ADHD. If I tell you I haven't watched a movie at a sitting before, you might not believe me. I'm not a movie person. I recently just went to a cinema, and even that I had to leave, you know, because like I went to a cinema, I think in 2019 or something, I had to leave because I just can't sit still. And that feeds into everything I do. Even now, I'm so better at this B50, this latest project. I worked on it in like a month, which is crazy. Made beats recorded, because I have to psych myself. I'm not waiting. I'm not going to stop, you know. So if I'm to give myself an advice, the younger Mutombo, I mean, just do it. Just don't stop. Just do it. I don't want to go off again for like 10 plus years and come back and I'm 60. And, you know, I just want to do this for the fun of it. That is the first, for the fun of it. And I shouldn't stop, because I've come to the conclusion that spoken word wouldn't be able to pay the bills. Yeah, spoken word would. You know, there is a point in time where you have to actually think about how are you going to feed yourself? Because back in the day, people call you for shows and they are giving you the platform. We are giving you the platform so we can pay you. No, I'm not doing that. I don't need that platform. I just want to do this and do this properly so that when you come to me, I can quote. And if you can't, we are good. But yeah, I don't want to stop. I don't want to procrastinate. I just want to do this.
I think that sometimes the the artist versus the business person, those are two very different skills.
Yeah.
And a lot of times artists want to create, produce, and not have to think about the other part.
Yeah.
But it's so critical because you want to be able to eat off of what you produce.
Yes.
But in terms of, you know, you talked about people kind of giving you feedback and asking you different questions. So whether it's an interview form or just in general, what is a question do you think you get asked the most? And, you know, whether you appreciate the question or sometimes maybe it's a question you don't appreciate, but what do you think you get asked the most?
Wow. These questions are simple by G&D. the question that I've received the most in the past few years is, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? From DMs to tweets to calls to one-on-one. When are you coming back? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? And I have people talk about how my works, you know, have inspired them.
Yeah.
I have people who say, hey, I have 3 copies of Photosentences. Hey, last time I was cleaning up and I saw Photosentences, you know, back then I was so active. And I mean, aside the tracks on Photosentences, I had so many other tracks that I wrote for stage. So anytime someone calls me or there was an open mic, trust me, I'm going to give you something new. You know, I've performed in schools, you know, and you just name it, everywhere, live on TV so many times, on radio so many times, you know, here in the States, in Europe, you know, I've done all. And so one question that I have received in the last like 10 years, when are you coming back? When are you coming back?
Does it help? Or like, is it something that like, oh my God, I'm tired of hearing that? Or is it something that's like, you know what? Okay. Like, is it like yet another spark to say I need to get back? Like, what does that question do?
Yeah. That question sparks me. That question really, really sparks me. That question gets me excited. I'm like, oh, people still remember me. Mm-hmm. You know, that question also makes me feel, even though I don't really care, it makes me, I am disappointed in myself. Because one wish that I had was, especially when I started going on stage, I'm like, oh, I wish my mom was here to see me do this. And then it changed to, oh, my son should see me perform. Mm-hmm. And he was born and he never ever saw me live on stage until last year.
Okay.
When he, you know, saw me on stage for the first time, and he tells his friends that, hey, my dad is on YouTube. My dad is on,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. So one question, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? And that's, you know, actually sparks me most of the time. Yeah.
It's interesting because you mentioned, you know, not, you know, kind of caring, but I think it's when people ask, it's not that you care about this person's opinion, but you inside want to do the thing. Yeah. And so it's like, it's triggering that, yeah. You know, because if you didn't care about performing at all or doing any of it, you would just be irritated and like, leave me alone. Yeah. But it's like that reminder of your inner self, that what you want to do.
Yeah. But that question has been some form of motivation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So by the time this episode comes out, the project will have dropped and people will be able to access it. So what platforms can people access it to from, and what platforms would you prefer people to access?
Wow, that's a dope question. Right now, things have changed. Like for instance, since 2012, I was selling physical copies.
Yeah.
And that made me good money. Now streaming is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's on streaming, but I'm like, no, there are platforms where people can buy. And I wanted to do that. But I'm like, yo, who do you think you are? You know, you have been absent for a long time, and your first time putting out a project and you want to sell? Nah, it might not work. So what I'm doing is I'm putting this thing out. It's on streaming. It's also on Bandcamp if you want to buy. It's on iTunes if you want to buy, you know, but it's also on streaming. Everywhere, Apple, Spotify, you just name it. Everywhere that you can, you know, stream. Just vibe to it. But I'm dropping 3 EPs in 2026. It's so good that if the second one, third one drops and I go like, yo, buy this, I think you will, you know, because the first one was so good. So for the first EP in 2026, it's basically quote unquote free, you know, but you can opt to buy if you want to.
So people can follow you on Instagram and they'll get those updates.
Yes, 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 yes.
So Instagram.
Mutombo the Poet. Twitter, Mutombo the Poet. Everywhere, Mutombo the Poet. I've been promoting this EP for the last few months and and the feedback has been so great. Like in like a month, Mutombo was like 900 followers on Instagram, but now it's almost 4,000 because of the strategy that, I want. This first installation, I go back into time to talk about my beginning, the things I've gone through, what shaped my childhood. And I'm currently coming to post the official trailer today to just announce the track list. And because I film and I use camcorders a whole lot, I have so many here. I've been filming for years. I'm just using that camcorder and a recording that I acquired from GBC back in 1983. You know, radio, GBC radio. I've taken a big bit of those sound bites and I'm putting it over this camcorder footage that I have and just using it in a creative way to announce the track list, you know. So yeah,
so it seems like though you mentioned the first project you had physical CDs you were selling, and so it seems that with all the technology and social media and everything that they're just hearing in the way you're describing it, more fun ways of like getting your project out there, getting it, like there's this one, there's this instant kind of feedback and seeing like the numbers in real time. So is it, are you having more fun kind of releasing and promoting this project versus Photo Sentences?
Like day and night, like, you know, day and night. Like I said earlier at the beginning of this talk, I didn't know what I was doing the Photo Sentences. Like I was more of a stage guy than a studio guy. Like I enjoy the stage than the studio. And so the way I was even recording over the beats was so wrong. You know, my delivery was off, my cadences. Now I look back and cringe. Because like the person recording you has got no time. You have an hour to record. And when you want to say something again, they frown. So you have to keep it like that. There were some grammatical errors, plenty. I'm like, oh gosh, I shouldn't have said this. I should have said it. But now I am in my house.
Yeah. And it was definitely a more relaxed.
So relaxed.
Like, because listening to it is definitely kind of like this youthful, like, I've got something to say and da 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 da. And whereas this one is more like, you know, I'm just kind of chilling.
Yeah, basically chilling. And one thing that I like about B50 is B50 means so much to me, even though I get scared when I listen to it. I've been listening to it over and over and over again and telling myself, yo, you are dope.
Yeah.
And it's so important because one, I wrote every single track on B50 in the room that I was born into.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I definitely appreciate this. You know, we'll have all your socials and all that so people can reach out. And so over the next 6 months or so, any plans
you Yes. So many plans. I'm dropping the second installation maybe October, November. I'm traveling to the UK in the next few days just to chill and write. Like I wanted to write in Holland, in Amsterdam, because I love that country so well, but something crazy happened. I was applying to renew my Schengen visa and those guys didn't give me the visa, and it's not my first time. I've had several Schengen visas. I've gone and I've come back to my country. I've never overstayed my visa anywhere in the world. I still have active, you know, US visas, Canadian visa, UK, United Kingdom. And I was like, let me write this thing in Holland, in the Netherlands. And the guy said, they said, if I go, I won't come back. I'm like, what? And they refused me, which I'm going to appeal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely when artists are like, when you physically change locations, it impacts creativity and all that stuff.
It does.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, too, for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Hip Hop African Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. For more interviews, articles, and resources, visit hiphopafrican.com. We'll see you next time. Peace.